magnify you, Jesus. I praise and glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Is
all.
There is
none like you, Lord. God. There is none like you,
Lord. Bless, hallelujah.
Holy brush of the day.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
He said that it's all about the harvest, saith the Spirit of grace. Know this, if a man for a long time has had agendas to build their kingdom. But know this, that what you're about to see is what is taking place for all those who call upon me, that the heart of the Father is replacing the heart of man. And the harvest which I have longed for to gather my bride unto myself is now coming online. And all of heaven rejoices in that man's agenda is beginning to be replaced with the genuineness of the heart throb of all of heaven, which is souls, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
praise
Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus.
It's a name that's above every name.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What he's doing with
praise
these teenagers on Sunday night. It's been incredible.
Jesus.
They've been being born again faster than we can almost know. And simultaneously, without any fanfare, just coming down and saying, lift your hands. They lift their hands and they start speaking in tongues.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You can fake some people out, but teenagers usually know if you're real because they see enough fake in the world. You know he's doing something? I got to share this real quick. My mom called me yesterday. This is what he's doing all over. My niece, she may be here, I don't know. It's okay. She's getting her hair done someplace. I won't have all the details right. She goes in there. This lady that's working on her, she's filled with the Spirit, and their church is in some kind of prayer vigil, calling on God. She starts talking to her about God, not knowing. She said, do you know him? He said, yes. But she said, are you walking with him? She said, no, not really. She said, well, now you're going to.
Hallelujah.
You're going to be filled. She said, I couldn't even resist it. The Holy Ghost came right in there. And before it was all over, she's out in the parking lot speaking in tongues.
Wow.
No. That's not even the punchline.
Wow.
The punchline is, the lady said, what about your husband? And she said, well, I can't even talk about God in my house. Can't even talk.
Wow.
Said, he won't allow it. She said, oh, he'll allow it.
Wow.
Because he's going to get saved today.
Praise the Lord.
Said, no, you don't know my husband. She said, yeah, in fact, we do. It was her husband knew this woman's son or something like that. Said, we're going to pray right now. In fact, I'm going to get my pastor on the phone. We're going to pray. He's got her on the phone. He started praying. He said, yeah, we're doing something right now. We're having something. And your husband's going to be saved today. She said, oh my goodness. She was being blessed, but it was a beyond thought that this antagonistic husband could be saved. She got home, tear-drenched face, walked in. What's wrong with you? Well, blah, 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 God. It began to break him down.
Wow.
While she's breaking him down in the spirit, knock at the door. This man that he had known maybe 20 years earlier says, I have come to get you.
Hallelujah.
We're going away. There's a bunch of men getting together today.
Glory to God.
We're going to put you on this bus. Get your stuff. We're going away for a retreat, a Christian retreat. He didn't fight. He didn't cuss. All he did was go in and packed his clothes, got on the bus, and left. I was warming my hands around a fire last night with a bunch of tongue talkers. We were talking about the revival that's coming, and somebody said he's about to blow doors off of all that we know. And I can say this, religion, get out of our way. And all I want to do is get out of his way and let him do what he wants to do in any unconventional, out of the ordinary, abstract to man kind of way that he wants to get it done. All he wants to do is get people born again. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Many will say, well, we didn't do it that way. But he'll say, oh, but this is my way, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I think, Matt, give us another one. We got to stand up and give the glory to God. Magnify him for what he's doing on planet Earth. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear.
Glory. Hallelujah.
I think you can get these. Hallelujah. That's good. You can be seated to stand back up again in just a moment. Granddaddy is back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, yes, he is. Hallelujah. I don't know. He thought he was going to go on, and then he thought he didn't know. He was, like Paul said, and I was caught betwixt and between. To stay or to go, I didn't know. So I think now he's going to stay and start a family again. So, hallelujah. Might as well just go ahead. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Well, one day we'll stand over there and anything that you didn't like so much about me, your neighbor across the aisle, that'll all fall off. Because when he comes, whatever was not like him, it's not going to make it. But everything that is like him, you'll find on that other side, which you'll appreciate each other more than you ever have. So the best thing to do is to practice prior to what it's going to be like there. So why don't you stand back up and just go around and give everybody that you can find a great big hug and tell them how glad you are to see them in the house of the Lord today. Hallelujah, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Could you get this? Praise you, Jesus. I mean, you're glad that he is your source. Oh, I magnify you. Magnify you. And I think you ought to help me out. Mockley. Wow.
I say
that Mockley.
South Florida
is in revival.
The blind see.
The lame walk.
The deaf hear.
The dumb speak.
The dead are raised.
Demoniacs are set free.
Maimed are made whole.
And thousands and thousands.
Thousands and thousands.
And thousands and thousands
are born again
in this revival.
I say,
now here's the kicker. This one's bigger than getting the blind to see and the maimed to heal. This one's way bigger than that.
I say
that we can
actually
get along with each other. while the Father works revival in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Going to do something. Yeah, we're going to tear it up. Yeah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. And you come in and just look, and that person is seated where I've seated there, been sitting there for the last 5 years. I can't believe that they'd do that. They know that that place is ordained, consecrated, and sanctified unto me. Yeah, and you're going to cause a revival too, right? Yes. Did you see how they looked at me? Were they looking at me? Are you looking at me? Were they looking at me like, they thought I wasn't dressed properly today? He's only got one thing on his mind. That's souls. That's souls. You see, because he's coming back. Well, I don't know that he is. Well, I can tell you one thing. These last 51 years, they are gone. They're gone. And I hate to be morbid. In fact, I wanted you to feel so good about yourself when you left today. But you're going to be gone pretty soon yourself. This little guy right here, he's going to be gone pretty soon. And I can tell you this. Hold on, buddy. He's getting ready to do something. He's getting ready to change a lot of people in the process. And all that he wants you to do is yield to everything that he wants to come and do. Dave says hi, everybody. Thank you. He loves you. He told me the other day, he said that with him. He saw a recent vision. He saw this vision, and this guy was standing in front of three high definition TVs. He was standing in front of them, and there was three preachers. The first preacher that he was listening to, he was promising him, if you give, you're going to get back, pressed down, shaking together, running over. I mean, did a good 638, Luke 638, which we've taught doesn't really mean none of that. You're going to get it. The guy standing there was in an antagonistic mood to begin with, but this preacher was, on this line, like, you send me this, I'm going to send you a wallet that won't ever run dry. The guy looked at it and said, my goodness, bunch of hooey preachers, all they want is your money, money hungry, loving, that's all they want. There was another one that was standing up. And he had a crutch in his hand, and he was waving it, and he was trying to get people excited because he was claiming some miracles that had just taken place. And the guy said, oh, that can be fabricated. Then he turned, and there was this someone talking. And the love of God was so strong. The anointing was so strong that it poured out into a place where it created an atmosphere. So strong that the man began to break down and yield under that atmosphere, because what the world, or what promises, or even promises of getting rich, and even the excitement of what people have said, oh, that's miracles, miracles. And I know that he's going to do the miracles in this great outpouring. Don't we know that? But I can tell you what he comes first with, what he wants more than anything else. He said, they will know that you are my disciples. By how? buy the car that I drive. They'll know that you're my disciples by your claim for fame of how many miracles that you've worked. No. He said, they'll know that you're mine by the amount of agape that you walk in one towards another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Barbara. Blessed be the Lamb. All right. You just keep praying. Why don't you just stretch your faith this way and just pray for me this morning before we do anything else. Father, I just worship you. I glorify you. All things are yours, and all things go back to you. We can do nothing of ourselves, but all things through you. So I thank you, Father, for your grace that's in here this morning, teaching us, guiding us into all truth by your Spirit. Father, I pray, Lord, thank you for the intercessors, because the intercessors, they never go to sleep. They are always not aware of themselves. They're always aware of what's going on in the service, and they're always picking up the pace in the Spirit. And I thank you for the intercessors that have the voice of God on their ear, and they hear, and they're not even concerned about themselves. They lose all sight of themselves to gain sight of you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for it. Praise God. All right. Received something from that. Why don't you take your Bibles and turn with me for just a little while this morning. Let's go to Isaiah. Hallelujah. I remember your faithfulness. I mean, I just love that song. God loves jazz. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I can't wait till we get to heaven. All religiosity is gone. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Now y'all can say amen. Amen. Isaiah 14. And then we're going to be over in Ezekiel, because we're going to do something this morning. We're going to, anybody that will participate, wants to participate, is going to see some change take place. Not only over your life personally, but God's going to take it to another level. We're going to see some change. How many would like to see some change in the present day economy? Well, my God, you bunch of rich people. How many would like to see change? Amen. I'm talking about God change. Amen. Hallelujah. Where'd y'all go last night? My ameners. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Isaiah 14. Let's look at verse 12. Now this is talking about his arch rival, the enemy, Satan himself. And he says in verse 12 of chapter 14, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit also upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and shall consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the whole world or the world as a wilderness and to destroy the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners?" Now turn with me to Ezekiel. It's just a little bit over. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. and turn to chapter 28. Thank you, Father. Now, this is one of my, I would say, probably most intriguing readings in the Bible, in the sense that when you're reading Ezekiel 28, you're reading something that is older than the pre-dawn of man. When you read in the book of Genesis, you're reading the oldest writings of the Bible, which Moses wrote. But when you're reading this particular chapter in Ezekiel 28, you're reading something that only God could give to a man to understand about a world that existed prior to our creation. In the book of Genesis, where it says, in the beginning God created, it's not talking about His beginning. It's not talking about God's beginning. It's talking about the beginning as we know it, as God created our heavens and our earth. And then a little bit later, He begins to introduce the angels and those things that come about. But here, this is something that took place prior to even those writings. It's a world that existed, and God showed Ezekiel that He wrote about. And what once we see what we see that this is talking about the one that fights, and where he gets his, where he originally got his dominion and how his dominion fell. And last week we had a couple incredible testimonies. Rex got up here and testified. Maria got up here and testified. And they were simple testimonies, but they were all about how that once they were able to see into the spirit realm. See, most people, even in Christendom, walk around as, I don't want to stereotype and say all, but so oftentimes walk around in a maze, repeating as a puppeteer would stand over his puppets and use them. And even Christians at times, Jesus turned, and I will give them the credit, they were not born again yet, nor filled with the Holy Spirit, but just as a visualization of how the enemy works. Jesus is a few days from the cross, and Peter had just come up with his tremendous revelation. Who do men say that I am? Peter says, you are the Christ. You've been sent from God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father, the Holy Ghost, has revealed this to you. And in the same sitting, Jesus goes on to say, and I'm about to go in. He just pronounced that, and I'm about to go in, and they are going to take me, the Gentiles are going to take me at the permission of the Jews, and or at the request of the Jews, and they're going to crucify me. And I understand that the Greek actually bears out that Peter began to cuss and say, you will not. Far be it from you. Don't do this. And of course, as we understand later, that they all had the mentality, they did not understand that the kingdom that they were entering in was not a political kingdom, it was a spiritual kingdom. They knew that in a few days, once the Holy Spirit came in, that they were born again. But Jesus, in that moment, I mean, 2 minutes earlier, he was pronouncing, Peter, you're speaking by the Holy Ghost. The next thing he said, get thee behind, he looks right into his eyes and says, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the mind of God. Now what he was saying is, Peter, you just mimicked, in other words, there's a devil, a presence, an entity that is in your vicinity. He may be even sitting on your shoulder. You are saying what he wants you to say. Now, I don't know about you, but if there's anything I don't want to be doing, I want to be repeating this word, and I want to be repeating what I hear from the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to be repeating what some ding-dong devil is putting in my ear, and I'm speaking, and all other Christians agree with it and say, yeah, that's right, because that's the time that we live in. So we had those testimonies, and the testimonies were so real, and I'm just kind of revamping them just for a moment, because what they said was this, where it was sickness in both sorts, where there was oppression. In a moment's time, once the Holy Spirit revealed to their spiritual eyes what they were going through, and they took on the tenacity of the Holy Spirit, and it was a real boldness to say, look, we're not dealing with flesh and blood here. We're dealing in a spiritual realm that if we're going to take dominion, we can't accept this, because one was saying I was accepting it because I thought it was flu time, virus time. I thought it was, you see, you can be an old 50, or you can be an old 60, or you can be a young 50, or an old 60, or young 60, or old, young 70. Why? Because once you begin to believe, oh, this is what comes along at this age. Oh, this is what comes along at this age. And people say, yeah, that's what comes along. Then you begin to agree with it, and a devil comes along, and he begins to speak to you, and you begin to speak that. The Bible says Moses was 120 and his eye was not dim, nor his spiritual strength, his natural strength was not abated. In other words, at 120, he could pick up whatever he could pick up at 20 years old. But he believed that. Well, I can't do that, Pastor. I never will. I know you won't, because that's what you believe. You will be what you believe, and you will certainly be what you say. You will certainly be what you say. And so they said, when we begin to speak to these things, they left, and they left immediately. Now, what's behind this? Let's look at something even older than the days of man itself. When God speaks sometimes to a person, he's using that person as an entity, as a personification of a larger thing, which is a devil behind that person. I love this. It's so interesting to me, because only God could see this and know this and tell another man about it, because obviously we weren't there. Nobody was there. But he begins here, and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to read here just for a moment. He begins to speak to a prince. Then he begins to, in the same chapter, speak to a king. The prince is the man. He's the personification of something, an entity bigger, higher, that is a puppeteer, and he's moving this literal prince of Tyrus. And if you've never heard Pastor LaRue's teaching on the king of Tyrus, you need to get that series. But this king is above this prince, and he's puppeteering. He's actually controlling him, manipulating him, and God begins to speak. Now, there was a literal king of Tyrus, or prince of Tyrus, which was a king in that day. But let's read this, verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There's no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches. And if you study Tyrus and the king of Tyre, you find out that this was the central mercantile or merchant place of the world at that time. And this guy had become an incredibly rich billionaire. And he says to him in verse 4, with thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten the riches and hast gotten gold and silver unto thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy great traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. And when it says traffic here, it's actually speaking of commerce. It's just like, well, if we'd said it in a negative connotation, we'd say that's a drug trafficker. He's got commerce going on. It's illegal, but he's trafficking. But this is exactly what it's saying. 6, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart, God, thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou say unto before him, look at the pride of this guy's heart. Obviously, he's being taught by a higher power. Will you say before him that slayeth thee, I'm God? But thou shalt be a man and no God. and in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Moreover, besides for this, here it comes. Now comes the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation. A lamentation was a prophecy. He says, I want you to speak and prophesy to this next entity. You're talking to a man. You're talking about a man. Now I want you to take up a lamentation, a prophecy, and speak this. Say to the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Now, just for a moment, verse 13, this is where it gets interesting. The prototype of earth was and is the literal heaven. What God created at the beginning was what was an image, an actual mirror image in the Garden of Eden of the actual habitational place where God's throne was set up and his glory was in existence in heaven. You know this, and it's very obvious when you read this, is that he begins to talk about this king being in the garden of God, and when he describes this garden, you know this is not an earthly garden. You know that it has to be a heavenly place, and you know that no earthly man has ever been there, so you know that he's talking about this angelic being, which he begins to pronounce this judgment on. So he says here in verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now watch this. He begins to typify this with all riches. And I know this. This doesn't mean riches, gold, silver, emeralds, diamonds. They don't mean anything to God per se, except they bless man. I mean, the maker and the creator of all things, how could anything impress him? But he says this, thou hast been in the garden of God, every precious stone was thy covering. Now the word covering is the word tapestry, in other words. In other words, the innate or the ornate, the way this creature was, how would you say it, that when the ladies put on your earrings and you put on your diamonds and you're looking really good, and your pearls accessorizing. The tapestry, the covering of this creature, all this was in him, or all this was on him. This is the way his makeup was. God created him with this. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold. So he says, in the day that you were, this being was covered and beautified with all these per se riches. So the first thing that you understand about what this person that he's describing, this angel, is that God did something for him that connected him, first and foremost, one of the first things, connected him with riches. When I begin to understand this, and I begin to read down through here years ago, It always was a question of mine why the word says in the new that the love of money is the root of all evil. That's kind of a gap there that I could not quite grasp, because the gap was there's so many different sins. I mean, how do you connect adultery, fornication, you know, murder, strife, envy, debate, you know, everything where you know involved in the drug culture and those. How do you pull that in, God? I know your word's true and I know you're true. But how is it the love of it is the foundation, or it says the love of it is the root of all evil. Once you begin to really understand the very beginning, what he's saying there, one of the things that he's saying there is that if you trace all sin back, if you just keep going back and back and back past Genesis, back to a place in Ezekiel 28 where it says this creature who actually perverted the nations before he fell, he was ornated with all of the beauty of heaven, and it was part of his being was riches. And what you're going to find out that the original goes all the way back to a place where everything that was kept in the treasury of this being under his the auspices or the glory of his treasury. And see, we're looking through a glass darkly. We don't see all this as it actually was, but I can tell you this, that when you begin to understand this, you understand that the root is the foundation, and that's where it derives its power from. The one that perverts the nations derived his original power to pervert from a love of what he was ordinated with rather than the one that was seated on the throne. Now, watch this. All these things were part of his covering. The onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold. The second thing was this. The workmanship of thy tabrets, or the tambourine, the word is tambourine. It's musical instrument. The workmanship of thy tambourines and thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. This is incredible, because why would you tell me this about an angelic being? The two things. One, he was ordinated with all of these beautiful, I mean, when you looked at him, you said, my God, he is, if there's anything about God, Jehovah Jireh, if I look at God as my provider, when I look at this being, he's the personification of that. He's just ordinated with all this beauty, gold and diamonds, carbuncle, sapphire. He wore it on his vesture. He wore it on his body, per se. The second thing was this. In the time when he was created, because all angels are created, the word says, innately in him, his horns, his pipes, his tambourines, his ability to create was made inside of him. Which, as I said, here's where we don't get dogmatic, but we're looking through this glass darkly and we say two things. We do see this. God specified how richly this guy was ordained. He also specified that he had something to create worship in heaven. I do believe, based on this, that he was one of the worshipers, the worship leaders of heaven. This is why when we begin to worship, and the scripture is so full of it, beginning with Jesus all the way back to the old, and we'll just mention a few of those this morning, that when you begin to worship, something happens against your enemies. Jesus said it like this. He quoted from the Psalms. He quoted from Psalms 8. But Jesus said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained praise. If you go back to what David said, he didn't say thou hast ordained. He said thou hast ordained strength, that thou mayest still the enemy and the avenger. Something happens when we begin to worship God and we begin to praise God. The very reason by which Satan was originally created turns against him, to pull down the strongholds. You'll see it clear. He said in verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. This is amazing to me. And again, we're looking through a glass darkly, but he says, you are the anointed cherub that covereth. I do. When you study the Levitical priesthood, and we don't have time to go into that, you find the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant has the mercy seat set on it. It has two golden cherubs. They are outstretched. Their wings are outstretched over God's seat of authority, and their tips of their wings are just barely touching, and they are the cherubs of God. Seraphims is one class. Cherubs covered the mercy seat. He says here, you were the one... One of the ones, it's amazing here, we have a testimony of a fallen being once testified, later testified, that his occupation was this, not only his ornate ability, but his ability to create worship, and he also had a throne room ministry where he's covering the mercy seat. Very probable. And it says here that as he says that you're the anointed cherub, you've been on, I like 14 because it's amazing, he says that you've walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. As I said, we look through a glass darkly here. We don't see everything because we're peering into a world that God's giving us a window into. But as he's offering us and says,
this being was part of the testimony of riches. He was the part of the testimony of worship. And he's in this place where an actual fire of God is burning. It's burning so strong as he's part of this worship band that is soliciting. When, if you were then created and you were in heaven in the eons back, however long that was, Lucifer was created in such a way that he could spontaneously begin to bring forth worship, and he would create an atmosphere. Now in his perversion, he can start his music, and I can tell you some of the music that's out there today, you can feel a presence when it comes in. Now, these guys, you know, I don't have anything against the godly rap, but I've been in the gym before working out, and some of that stuff would come on, and it's not just vile words, it's got a presence with it. It's got, see, the demons are anointed. The Holy Spirit is anointed. Anointing means that there's a presence. That's all it means. A devil has an anointing. He has a presence when he comes in. Satan's or Lucifer's presence then, his anointing was solicit worship. Oh, this is good. If you learn this, you're going to change your life, and we're going to stand and prophesy to the region through the power of God, and we're going to change things. Hallelujah. Not just this morning. This is not a one-time shot. This is an impregnation to your spirit, to those who have ears to hear, to say, look, what I believe, what I feel, what I know in the scriptures to be true, I can begin to stand on my turf, in my house, in my business, in my home, in my region, and release the power of God and see God at work. Hallelujah. And specifically, we're going to talk about, as what we're talking about this morning, is changing it towards the financial arena. Hallelujah. Verse 15, he says, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. People have said a lot of dumb things like, well, God put a little bit of evil in him so he could be tested. And so God, 1 John says, God, there is no darkness in God. And he cannot tempt, nor can he be tempted, nor will he tempt you with evil. Hallelujah. 16, it says, and by, now this is what's amazing to me. By the multitude of thy merchandise, look, this is where I can trace back and say, the root of all evil? How does murder get into love of money, the root of all? He says, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they, the merchandise, have filled the midst of thee with the violence. With violence. In other words, a rebellion against God. And thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. That's the actual throne room worship area of God in heaven. There is heaven, and then there is the mount of God referred to time and time again as that perfect throne room place. He says, I will cast you out of the mount of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. No more worship, no more praise. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Verse 18, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy trafficking. And this is what's amazing to me. I'm not saying, don't quote me on this, I'm not saying that there's a commerce in heaven like we see a commerce, but there was something that, two things that he was involved with. One, he was involved with riches, and the other one was in the same verse, he was involved with worship. Now, how many of you know in the church he loves to get involved in worship? He loves to shut the people come in and say, I can't understand why they just want to, just, you know, we took up 3/4 of the service worshiping. It's because religion has taught people that there's a format. There's a 1, 2, 3. Let's, you know, we got to have the choir sing. We got to hear a good poem. And God forbid that Reader's Digest is not represented in a good message. Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. In other words, if I don't visit you, if you come in and don't do anything but allow me to come, you have fulfilled everything I want by my presence coming on you and changing your life. And the enemy will do anything he can to stir up people's lives in a point where they say, well, worship. Listen, worship. You know, you can get born again and never really fall in love with him. I love this family. Sometimes I cry because I hold my grandchildren or I hug a daughter or I hug an up-and-coming son-in-law and see the love of God. But I can tell you this, my greatest times of intimacy, you know the greatest thing that you as mothers and grandmothers and grandfathers can do is when you hold these babies, it's like, my God, I wish I could have had these first. They're so great. But there's a love for God that's only brought forth in intimacy, that so supersedes anything that you can feel on this earth that you feel like if you get in His presence, you want to burst from the inside out. You feel like, my God, I know why man was created. It was to truly worship you. And if there's two things that the enemy will fight, he will fight the money in your life because that's what his original, one of his original, his ministry was. He'll try to stop it up. The other thing, too, is he will try to stop your spontaneous worship. This is what God says about him as we finish this up. He says, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries and the multitude of thy iniquities by the increase of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring. Now watch this. This is what's amazing. Therefore, because of this, I will bring a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee. Has everybody got that? He said, because of this, I will bring a fire from the midst of thee. Now this is important. He doesn't say that the fire will come from God on you. He said that the fire that is going to consume you is already part of who you are. And it will then, once you have sinned, now what you are becomes an enzyme on the inside of you that becomes what was once blessing becomes a Superman's kryptonite that begins to deteriorate and destroy you from the inside out. The very fire, the stones that he's walking on and worshiping God and magnifying God, now when he's perverted in his fallen state, the very glory of worship becomes a fire that burns and consumes him from the inside out. And guess who gets to carry that out? Hallelujah! We've picked up a ministry that he put down. Glory be to God. Psalms 149. If any of you are quick enough to just turn there. I have to find it myself. Look what it says in verse 1. Praise you, the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. His praise in the congregation of his saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him, and the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let him sing praises. Let them sing praises unto him with a timbrel and the harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. In other words, the most intimate parts of their life presented to God. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Once you begin to put the high praise of God in your mouth and you're worshiping God, there's something else that goes beyond that. It's like, I want to know what God's about, and then I want to know how He wants to use me to change not only my life, but to change the region in which I live in. Immokalee's in a revival. He said, let the high praise of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. Now, the Old Testament is talking about people, but really to the New Testament believer, you know you're talking about spirits. You're talking about devils. He said this, when you're in that place of worship, begin to speak the word, because as a result of it, you bind their kings with chains, and their nobles are all the devils that work as an entourage and as an assignment against your life for you to receive whatever you need to receive from God. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, this honor has some of his saints. How many? Oh, you're not with me. How many of all of them? Hallelujah. Now this is words of life. How far reaching does it go? How far? Now let me tell you something. Well, I gave a certain amount. Bless their heart because they heard some preacher say, if you'll make a vow to God, or if you'll give $1,000. How far reaching does the power of God go in His blessing to touch your life? Now, you don't have to turn there. Let me just read it for you. Jesus said this in Matthew 10. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth, watch this, a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever, he just keeps breaking it down, breaking it down, breaking it down. He says, and whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones of cold water only, just a drink of water in the name of a disciple, truly I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? See, we don't understand what our authority is. We don't understand how far reaching it is. And the enemy will do everything he possibly can to disguise that and cause you to live in a maze. And especially, listen to what? Now, I didn't say this, but please listen to what God said. He said in Proverbs 18, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips he shall be filled. How much are you paying your mouth? I don't have nothing. How much are you paying your mouth to get something for you? Oh my God, you ain't. Come on. Death, now this is the part I love. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it, love what? Love life, shall eat the fruit thereof. See, we're way past a point of kidding around. Well, I ain't got a pot and I ain't got nothing to throw it out of. Now go ahead and keep kidding like that. Make everybody laugh. But it's time to change. Now you can do whatever you want to, but you're not going to get me to kid about it anymore. Because we have power. Death and life, this is what God said, death and life are in the power of your tongue, and they that love life shall eat the fruit thereof. You know what else he said? He said this, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Did you hear me? Or did you hear him? A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein, therein what? Therein in your tongue is a breach in the spirit. You know what a breach is? A breach is a broken down place. And the breach is in the spirit. Well, Pastor, I got the Word of God in my spirit. It is broken off. What you got in your spirit gets broken off between what you've got here in your spirit and what's able to get out there if your tongue speaks evil things. It says it breaches it. In other words, you can be fat. You can study the Word of God for years, but if you whatever you say with your tongue is a breach in the spirit, it break off the power from moving here out there onto your need. Hallelujah. Thank you. Whosoever keepeth his mouth, Proverbs 21, and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Proverbs 10, the mouth of a righteous man. Everybody say mouth. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 11, by blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it's overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Now this city, I'm going to tell you, this city is exalted. I like to keep these. I was at a prayer conference in 2000, October the 12th of 2000. Gary Carpenter stopped and he began to prophesy. And he said this, tell Bronk his city is strategically located or placed. Those who have scorned his city as Ichabod, that means cursed of God, shall be running to it shouting, Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? The Holy Ghost just couldn't get enough on him. The next day on the 13th, he spoke again, strategically placed. Your city is strategically placed. He's got you sort of removed from everything from the midst of those coastal cities, but he's got you in a strategic place to reach millions. Strategically. He says Naples is 30 minutes, Fort Myers, and he names others, Cape Coral, big cities. But he just spoke to me, he said, and I thought you would be blessed to know, strategically placed, Immokalee, Florida, hand-selected, strategically placed. Just know that he's got a lot more in mind than Immokalee. I want to say it this way. He said, South Florida. Hallelujah. The blind see, the lame walk. Well, this city's wicked. No, listen. Like I said last week, it's not you living in any city. It's whether the city's living in you. I can have those girls that need to get saved working the street on my right hand, living right next door. I can have a crack house across the street, and they can pile it up in my living room, and I can have to step over it to go to bed. As long as it's not in me. We need to get people out of here. No, we need to get people delivered and get them back in. Hallelujah. Yeah. Say a word. Hallelujah. See, Jesus said, if you need to cut your hand off to save your soul, go do it. And I'd rather go out and live in Siberia and stay free. But you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to keep speaking God's life over me until I could walk right back in it and none of it would affect me. That's freedom. That's freedom. This is Emmanuel, the city of God. Hallelujah. A man shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth, and by the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. In other words, your hands are blessed by your mouth. A man shall eat good of the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. What did Jesus say in Mark 11:23? Whosoever shall say to this mountain, glory be to God. I want you to stand with me this morning, please. We're going to do something. Now, if I believed anything other, what I would do at this point, if I believed like I could give my way out of poverty, things. I know this by 2 Corinthians 8, that I don't give my way out. I give myself first unto him. Paul said, you gave, but you gave not to us. You gave of yourself to the Lord. And out of that grace, something came to you that broke what was over your life, what the enemy was trying. The enemy hates it when we worship, but then he hates it when, like Maria was testifying last week and Rex, is that when we realize that he's behind something and we don't skirt it by saying, okay, these are just the times we live in. We can change things with our mouth. We can change things with our life. We can change things by speaking unto the heavenlies. And not just today, but when you're riding into the sections of Immokalee or you're riding to wherever you live, where you're riding, if it's East Fort Myers or North Fort Myers or wherever it's at in Southwest Florida, if you will begin to realize this, my words have power, and there's one that has fallen from a place that when I begin to worship, see, the 2 Chronicles chapter 20 was this, when Jehoshaphat went out, and all the kings of the earth, you know, these three kings, the Amorites and the Mount Seir and all and Moabites, when they came, and the Bible says they were like just a great multitude. The word of the Lord was, you worship God, and as you worship God, then I'm going to come. And the next morning when he got there and he saw them by the thousands on the desert floor that had been destroyed by the power of his spirit, because of the confusion. See, what the enemy wants to exact on you in confusion, and you get in a fog and you say, well, I'm just going to keep working harder and maybe I'll work myself out of this thing. Maybe I'll just give more and I'll work myself. No, no, no. Turn yourself over to Him. He said, Paul said, it wasn't the gift. It was that you turned yourself over to Him. And by that grace that came on your life, that's what changed their life. That's the Philippian church. Listen, we get a chance, we get an opportunity this morning to speak. Hallelujah to God. I want you to lift your hands, as many of you that will, and just begin to worship the Lord. We just begin to worship you, Jesus. I begin to worship you, Jesus. I begin to worship you, Jesus. I begin to praise you, Jesus. I begin to love you, Jesus. You are so worthy, you're so worthy, you're so worthy, Jesus. There is none like you, Jesus. There is none like you, Jesus. There is none like you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I worship you, Jesus. All things are possible through you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you and magnify you. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We magnify you. All things are possible through you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you, Jesus. We magnify you. We glorify you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Would you begin to say these things with me? And if you say, well, I'm at reserve for this, then that's good. Just worship the Lord or just be quiet and listen. But if you would, let's speak because of the authority, because this honor hath all his saints. I say in the name of Jesus that the blinders are off and that I see the Prince of Tyre. I see the King of Tyre. In the name of Jesus. It is written, this honor has all his saints. Therefore, because of revival and the coming bridegroom, I speak to you, O principality and power over this city, over this region, over our families, in the name of Jesus, we lift up a lamentation, a prophecy against you. In Jesus' name, you are bound. We loose the word of the Lord against you today. In Jesus' name, we say, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Therefore, I say, it does not matter what the present economy is or the day that I live in. I say with my mouth, Father God, put a watch on my lips. Let the coals of Isaiah 6 touch my lips when I find myself speaking evil, speaking doubt, speaking fear. Lord, let repentance come. Purge my lips. Let me speak those things of power. I say that Immokalee is in revival, that my home is blessed, my wages are blessed. I say that you are the God who meets our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will deal with me past this moment, past this service. Teach me every day to take authority and to rule and reign with Christ Jesus. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, as you're fellowshipping and about to leave, let me tell you two things. As soon as everybody gets comfortable again and fellowships for a few moments, we're going to remarry a newlywed couple, Homer and Rosie Betancourt. So they're going to renew their vows. In other words, somebody said, well, what, have they been divorced lately? No. So they would like anybody that would like to stay around and be a part of that. The other thing is we're going to put some offering baskets up here. There's two ways in the New Testament to give. One, it's what you hear him say. Or it's number two, as a man thinketh in his heart, or as a man desires, let him give. I'm going to ask you right now to ask the Lord what your part is in this morning. If you will, just go before the Lord and just ask him what he'd have you to give and what part he'd... If he's the one, he's already provided it. So we receive from him. Let's do that now. Father, in Jesus' name, I receive your grace. First for these, that all their homes be blessed. Their food and their water be blessed, their provisions. The Lord, in their coming in and their going out, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Bless upon them. Blessings upon them. And Father, I pray that not one will be unemployed that wants employment. Not one will be lacking that wants more. Jesus. Yes, sir. He's saying, he just caught me in that tongue, and just prior to it, he said, some were saying, well, how? If it's all by grace, well, then how do I get a raise? I mean, how do I go from where I'm at? He wants you to know this: death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's the way you get it. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. How do I get a raise, Pastor? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Hallelujah. We bless them, Lord. We give your blessings, and we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you had a good time? All right. Once again, if you'll stand, and you are blessed. You are blessed. And if you need prayer physically or for any other reason, when you come down, just wait for a few moments and we will pray for you. But other than that, God bless you.